This message is provided by Bridgeway Community Church. Thanks for tuning in.
I've seen this about 10 times now, and I still am laughing, right? I can laugh because it's not me failing this time. It's somebody else, right? I could be in every one of those videos. I think I've done all of those, right? Oh, man. Good morning, though. Good morning, Bridgeway. So good to be with all of you. I'm Pastor Mike. If I have not had the privilege to meet you yet, thanks for being with us this morning to dive into the Word together, to worship God together. I'm going to tie in, don't worry, I'll tie that video into what we're talking about today. We're going to be talking about fear of failure, but we'll talk about that in just a minute. Last week, though, if you were with us, we finished up our series on idols. It was a great series, all introspective, to look back and to think through how God can help us to identify the idols in our lives, the things that are drawing us away from Him, and how we can step in to remove some of those in our lives. And a lot of you have been talking to us about how God has been doing that, how through this series He's been helping you. So it's super grateful just for how the Spirit has been working in this place and working in each of you. But if you missed that series, my point is, go back, check it out. Jump on our website. We've got a YouTube channel. You can watch them all there. And there's sermon discussion guides that we have with all of these. So you can take what we talk about today and you can talk with other people about them. All right, there you go. Now you got all the information. So let me talk about fear of failure. Whenever we face new things in life, we always get hit with the realization that we might fail at the same time. Kind of like we might fail and then end up making it into America's Funniest Home Videos. There you go, I tied it in. That was a stretch, but I did, okay? But you might make it into one of those videos, or you might get blasted on social media because you had a fail in a moment. And sometimes it can be that, or it can be bigger things that are in our lives. And we think some of these kind of thoughts. So maybe if you're thinking right now and you're like, I don't know if I do. Well, maybe it's something like you're coming into the biggest game of the week or the year of your life, and you're like, oh, what if I miss the shot? That's a fear of failure. Or you're thinking about popping a very important big question. What if she says no? Or I don't think I'll get the raise, so I don't know if I should ask. Or I don't think they will respond well if I talk to them about this. What if I get nervous about sharing the Bible or about sharing Jesus? All of these things, they're fears of failure. And I think all of us have struggled or have felt some of these at some point in our lives. We've had moments where we've been afraid of failure. You guys know the common responses to fear? I thought I did. And then I realized that we keep on learning, so this is good, right? What are some common responses to fear? There's a couple of them that are pretty obvious for us. Normally, you can fight or flight. We've got those two, right? Those are obvious ones. Fight, this isn't like grind out, do the hard work, I'm fighting, that kind of. It's fight like, think more like street fight, like just throwing haymakers all over the place, not aiming or anything, like that kind of a fight. It's not the work hard kind of a fight. This is like, panic fight. So that's a fear response. Flight, so you, in the midst of your failure, the opportunity to fail, you're like, nope, peace out, see ya. Like, that'd be me just walking off the stage right now, right? You can freeze, so that one's pretty common as well, where you just stop and you do nothing in the face of fear. And that can be the same thing in the fear of failure. And the last one is fawn. And I had to do a little bit of research on this one. Fawning is like people-pleasing or appeasing or accommodating or being overly friendly in the face of a problem or an issue or something new. That's how you would respond. So instead of engaging with the problem, you people-please or you accommodate or you're overly friendly. I think the idea there is that you can't fail if the problem is happy, right? But the issue gets lost. These are all of the responses today. And as we jump into our story, I'm going to have you kind of try and look for it. We're going to be in the book of Matthew today in the Bible. We're going to be in Matthew 25. And while you're finding your way there, I want to give you just a little bit of backdrop. So the story we're going to read today, this is one of Jesus' parables, and parables are essentially stories that have an underlying meaning, that have a point that they're trying to drive home. Today's actually comes out of Jesus talking about the end times. So he's kind of been talking about this in chapter 24 and part of 25, right before this, actually the verse before where we're going to be at. We're going to be in verse 14. In verse 13 it says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour," and he's talking about when Jesus will return. And this is Jesus sharing this parable and talking about the end times. And then Jesus goes on and he shares this parable. We're going to read the whole thing, and talking about a fear of failure and failing. Your pastor this morning, he failed and wrote the wrong version on the screen. So you're going to, if you want to follow along and stick with the words on the screen, that's going to be the ESV. It just happened to be the other translation that I was reading in, and I transposed the wrong one. So anyways, we'll fix it for second service, but you guys got to see that. So I'm stepping right into what I'm talking about today. How funny is that? All right. So I'm going to go off the screen too for those of us that are on the screen, but it's essentially, you'll read the same kind of idea. Here we go. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. And as we're reading through this, I want you to be looking for which fear response you see, and then how a fear of failure is affecting this person's faith. All right, here we go. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be more given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" All right, so what did you find out? Which fear response did you see in that story? Which way did they respond? Thinking about it. It doesn't really matter which one you see. You could probably see a couple. Maybe you can argue a few of them in there. But the fear response is interesting there, is because that's what took over. The fear of failure was stronger than the desire to succeed. Their fear of failure was stronger than the desire to succeed. See, with this kind of stuff, we talk about taking risks, and we talk about fear of failure, and maybe you've heard of it in this way. You've talked about risk versus reward, right? If you take a risk, there's a potential for you to earn a reward. And if you take the risk, you could also fail, but there is a potential for reward. If you are, I don't know if you've thought about it this way, though. If you're living in fear, then the reward is simply that you forfeit. There is no chance of a reward. If you're living out of fear, in any of those responses you choose, to flight, to fawn, to freeze, to throw haymakers, the end up is forfeit. And there is no possibility for the reward. If I refuse those risks and live out of fear, there's only potential for failure. And it's even worse when we think about it as he's talking about in the story. He's talking about the kingdom of God and the end times. But why? Why wouldn't the servant enter the kingdom based on this? Bear with me for a moment as I try and answer that question. Why wouldn't he enter? Have you ever heard the phrase faith over fear? Ever seen that somewhere? Maybe on a t-shirt or somewhere else? Faith over fear? Well, I want to talk about that a little bit because I think it needs to be adjusted just a slight bit. So I think it might look more like this. So when we talk about faith and fear, I think sometimes we have a faith in our fear. We have faith in fear. Or we, instead of having faith while we are afraid. I think the problem is really that we have faith in the wrong thing. We might have faith in our fears instead of faith in our Jesus. Does that make sense? We have a faith in our fear instead of faith in Jesus. That's the problem in the story that we just read. It wasn't anything about the money. It was that they ended up putting faith in the wrong thing. Think of it like this. Faith is believing in something or someone, right? Like, I have faith that this stage, this ground right here, is not going to go anywhere. I'm going to be able to walk around on it, and I'm good to go. I'm trying to pick something easy, right? Like, we can all have faith in that. You guys are thinking that the ground is good, right? I don't have anybody in the room that's afraid the ground is going to swallow them. You're like, Mike, I was feeling good about it, but now you're kind of freaking me out, right? Don't worry, I didn't mess with the ground anywhere. There's not a trap door that's going to suck me up or anything. But when we put our faith in something, we even have a faith in the fact that this ground is going to hold us up. We can do the same thing with fear, though. We could put our faith in fear. I have a faith in me messing up, right? I have a faith in not getting the job. I have a faith that I can't play sports. Or I have a faith in my lack of ability to read the Bible. Or I have a faith in failing. So the goal is faith in Jesus and not faith in our fears. Goal is faith in Jesus and not faith in our fears. That's what we're trying to do as we think through this. As we look at this story, I want to have more faith in Jesus and less faith in the power that my fear has. So I want to talk to you today about some tips, right? We're talking about this is what he's telling us to do. We're supposed to invest. We're supposed to be stewards of what God has given us, and that's everything around us. That's the world around us. That's our own lives. That's the faith, the abilities that he's put in us. That's what I'm in charge of, and that's what I'm going to be giving back to him. And so I want to multiply what he has given me to entrust. But let's talk about how to do that. Let's talk about tips for dealing with a fear of failure, especially as related with your faith. So I didn't put one on there already, but I'm going to pull it up, a bunch of these on the board for you here. First one I'm thinking about, though, is simply that you're not alone. We talked about this at the beginning. You're not alone in this. I think all of us have experienced a fear of failure at one point or another and have responded out of it. But you're not alone as well, because our God has told us that he will be with us, and he's created us for community. God himself is in community. There's three in one. He is in eternal community, and he made us like him. And so you're in community this morning, which is awesome. And that's part of the reason we gather, is to encourage each other and to invite each other and to remind each other to step into faith with Jesus. Another one on here says, give yourself permission to be a beginner. I took these, a lot of these from Dave Ramsey talks about some of these things, and I adapted them to fit our context a little bit better. But he says, give yourself permission to be a beginner. I think a lot of times we step into something and we're like, you know what? I need to be the top dog immediately. I think this is easier to talk about with my kids, so I'll share a story for my kids. I've got a fifth grader, a third grader, and a first grader. And they're not all at the same level of math, right? And I'm probably not at the same level as my fifth grader anymore, let's just be honest. Right? He's like starting to surpass me. He's coming up, he's like, hey, do you know what 2 to the power of? I'm like, I don't even know what that means, bud. But anyway, so he'll be sitting in the car, my oldest, he'll be sitting in the car and he's like, hey, check it out. Hey, first grade sibling, what's 635 times 46? And he stands there and he knows her response. She's gonna be like, rah! And she just gets like, it's a fight response, right? And like she starts throwing haymakers. That's her fear, because she can't answer that yet. She's not been able to do that. Allow yourself to be a beginner though. It's okay. You know what, I'm learning this. I'm gonna hopefully be able to answer that by the time I'm a fifth grader. But right now I'm learning, and that's okay. To allow yourself to be a beginner and to start at something. You're not putting yourself low or anything else. It's simply to learn something new and to take steps. I believe failure is a teacher. A lot of times we look at failure as the thing in our life to avoid the most, but it's not. Failure is a teacher. You can see this through different success stories in the Bible, but also the success stories in life. So let me share you a few of these. Do you guys, have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Abraham Lincoln? He lost 9 times in his political career before he ever became president. He lost 9 times as he's going up. Could have decided to stop at any of those. Have you heard of a guy by the name of James Dyson? The Dyson vacuum, maybe? He made 5,000 prototypes. 5,000 before he came up with a vacuum. I don't know if I would have made it that long. Good job, Dyson. But we have a lot of those around today. Thomas Edison, you've heard of that guy? Thousands of fails before successfully making a light bulb. He's famous for saying, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. I love that line. Maybe you've heard of Michael Jordan or Carmelo Anthony, both basketball players, NBA players. They were both cut from their high school basketball teams. I'm sure their coaches are regretting that decision now or back then. Maybe you've heard of J.K. Rowling. She wrote Harry Potter. That book was rejected 12 times before it ever actually made it to print. Maybe you've seen a current NBA player by the name of Steph Curry. Plays right now, and during his training, this is one of the things that he uses his failure to train. He will shoot his shots, his practice shots for part of his drill, and he doesn't count them as makes unless they make that beautiful sound, swish. And that's part of his training because he wants to train past his failure. In the Bible, we see it though too. Maybe you've heard of a guy by the name of Paul who wrote a lot of the letters in the New Testament. Before he ran into God and God gave him a great moment, he was a persecutor of a church. He was failing, in my opinion. He was missing what God had set forth. Maybe you've heard of Moses, the little guy in the Old Testament who God put in charge of his people. He says, I can't speak well, God. I can't do it. He's got a fear of failure. And yet God uses them anyways. Jesus' disciples, if you notice them, they didn't get it right away. They weren't just put in charge of the church right away. Did you see how many times they argue about who's the greatest? Which is funny because I do the same thing. I just do it in different ways. But it took them 3 years, right? He didn't just say, here's the keys, go, run, you're good to go. They failed. He brought them along and he taught them. All of these chose to keep going and to learn from their failures instead of their failures becoming their idol or their failures becoming what they put their faith in. Another one is to find a mentor. So this is my encouragement to you. If you are stepping into a big decision and you are afraid of what could happen, or you're stepping into something new, there's people that have been through this before. Maybe not in the same way, but they'll have experiences that they can walk alongside you to support you in. And if you don't have a mentor in your life, please come talk to me. Not that I'll be your mentor, but I would love to connect you with others in this room or others that meet in the second service who have been through what you are going through or who are about to face or have been through it already and can give you some advice on how to go through it. Another one is to understand the why. Understand the why. I think this is super important. Understand why it matters that I need to step forward and to engage with this, to take the hard choice and to continue to go. And if you can put the why in perspective, it'll help you to be able to step past the fear of failure. For those of you that like lists, I put this one on here for you for that. Make a pro and con list. This is the same idea as the one before, but this is a way to do it. You can make a list of, as you're looking at this next thing in your life coming up, you can make a list of the pros of stepping into it in a certain way, and you can make a list of the cons. And then you weigh them out, and that helps you to go, okay, I need to step through this because me doing this has a lot more pros than me not. Another question, what happens if you try? What happens if you try? Sometimes we let the fear drive us because we don't think about that question. What happens if I try? How bad could it be? What if I fail? I guarantee you, most of the time, it's not that tragic. It really isn't. It's not that tragic. It might be an embarrassing moment. It might be a learning opportunity. But it's not the end. But I guarantee you, if you don't, there is just forfeit at the end. Be flexible. That's one I think is super important as well. Life throws a ton of stuff at us. We can only control what we control, right? Which is not that much. I found out it's not that much that I can actually control. But be flexible, because life is going to throw lots of things at you, and allow it to just happen as it does. So you're going to make a plan. You're going to want to be moving forward in this way, but be flexible with how God is going to engage with you in that. As you look at big things, the next one is just simply to break down those big things. Break them down into smaller bites so that you can step into them, right? So we talked about that story of math earlier about my fifth grader and first grader. It's simple for that. I don't sit with my daughter and go, you need to learn how to do that big math problem right now. Like, we take steps. And then we take another step. Let's learn little multiplication. Then let's learn a little bit more multiplication. And then we can step into this together. You make it into bite-sized chunks that are accomplishable now. And my last two, I think, are probably the most important, is simply to ground in truth. Ground ourselves in the truth. Because this fear of failure stuff will work in your whole life. But what I really care about is where you're ending up. And that's where I want you to be in this moment when God says, see, here it is, it belongs to man. You wicked. And then he says, I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. That's what I want you to hear at the end. I want you to hear that. So what God has given you, I want us to end well, to take what God has given us, to use it for him. So we want to ground ourselves in truth, like the word of God, reading through scripture like this, to memorize maybe some verses that can help you. But to remember, ultimately, it's not for you. We're not doing this for you, it's for him. We do all of this for him. We live our lives, we step into scary things, we make these next choices to honor him. And remember, it's not yours. These things around us, the things that God has given us to handle, to trust, even our own lives, it's not yours. It's his. And that's what we see in the story. All of it was given them to be entrusted to them, but it's not theirs. It's his. And to simply remember, he's not sending you alone. He is with you. He's with you in every moment. He's with you in the hard moments. He's with you in the moments where you feel like you cannot take another step and you have no idea how to move forward. He's with you. In 2 Timothy 1:7, now the worship team start making their way up here, but in 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." For God gave us a spirit, not of fear. And he gave us spirit to be with us, not to be in fear, but of you guys know this, we have access to the power of God this way. We have access to the love of God, and we can share that and push that forward. And the last tip that I have for you today is pray. We have access to the power of God in a way that's just so amazing, because he is here with you. If you've chosen to follow him, he is in you, and you have all the strength, all the power that you could ever need, and even more to overflowing. That's the kind of God that you have. And that's the kind of access that you have to him. So when you hit those moments, when you hit that time in your life, and maybe you're thinking like Moses and you don't have the ability to speak or you don't know what to say, he's with you. And you can talk with him. And you can share in those concerns. You can invite him in and you can ask him to empower you. And he's faithful to be with you in it. Now let me do that right now though for us. Let me pray for us as we go forth. Father God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that you promised to be with us. Thank you for the story that we just read that talks about the things that you've entrusted with us. You've entrusted this world to us. You've entrusted us to each other, that we get to speak into each other's lives, to point each other to you, that we get to look at all the things around us, we get to use them to glorify you, to steward them well, to multiply them, and then ultimately to hand them back to you. God, would you give us courage to step into all of these things, all the things that you have us over, and to use them for your kingdom and for your glory. Would you get all the glory from it as well? God, we love you. We want to sing to you now. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. Check out our app or website at bridgewaycommunity.org for more messages or to take the sermon one step deeper by downloading the sermon discussion guide.